How many of you today have felt at some point in 2020 a bit oppressed? A little bit oppressed in some way, you know, whether it be financially, emotionally, physically, verbally. How many of you this year have found yourself at one point or another just kind of holding your breath, waiting for that feeling of oppression to go away? Like just waiting, like just get through this. And then we can get back to, you know, doing what we're supposed to be doing. Or you're just kind of holding your breath, waiting to be able to function again. Well, I just want to say this to you. You get to live this day. This day God has given you to live. I get to live this day. God made this day. He made a plan for your life for today. Today is a part of that plan that God has for you. And when I think about it in those terms, that's exciting to me. God has a plan for me today. Today is not a waste. It's not just a hold on till we get through it kind of day. It is the day that the Lord has made. And he has chosen you to live this day. And some of what I'm going to say today, I have said at different points throughout this year, but I believe God wants to say some of this again to us today and remind us of some things. Now, as we've gone through this year, we have had to make all sorts of adjustments. We've adjusted our surroundings. We've adjusted our wardrobes, our routines, and our finances. Our shopping experiences look different. Our church services look different. Our kids' education look different. But I believe that God wants to change our perspective on where we're at right now. I think that God has been up to something all year long. He wasn't surprised at this pandemic. He isn't holding his breath, waiting for this year to be over so that he can work. I believe he has been and he is working right now in this place, and he wants our attention. I believe that God would say that he doesn't just want to work on the other side of this pandemic and the shutdown, but he is wanting to work through it. The cool thing is that he doesn't want to leave us out of it. We have the opportunity to claim a front row seat to what God is doing and what he wants to do next. So going into this holiday season, how do we make sure that we don't miss that? Well, we began last week talking about the names of Jesus, some of the names of Jesus, names that he is also known as. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we found a few of those names, and we're going to read that verse again. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is Jesus, but he is also known as the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, I shared last week that as the Prince of Peace, Jesus comes from a place of peace, but it's up to us to let that peace of God rule in our lives. God is our source of peace. It's not dependent upon circumstances or anything in this world. It is the peace that passes all understanding and can only come from him. Now, looking at Jesus' name, we get a glimpse of what to expect as we get to know him. We need peace. Jesus is our Prince of Peace, and we can expect peace from him. Today, we're going to look at another one of his names, another aspect of who he is. Today, we're going to look at Jesus as our Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Well, that just sounds wonderful. Wonderful means inspiring delight, pleasure or admiration, and extremely good. The name counselor most commonly refers to people who are trained to give advice and direction in a given field, such as marriage counselor, family counselor, legal counselor. So Jesus is referred to as a wonderful counselor. And I think that is the kind of counselor that I would want to go to. An extremely good counselor. An extremely good counselor would be one that knows his stuff. However, to benefit from a good counselor, you can't simply sit on the couch in the counselor's office week after week and go home and not change anything. You can have the best counselor in the world and not benefit at all if you're not willing to take a look at yourself and take the counsel that they give. Now, Jesus did things differently when he was here on earth. In fact, Jesus, as our wonderful counselor, said and did a whole lot of things that were completely contrary to what the religious leaders in that day did and said. Jesus forgave the woman that was caught in adultery when the Pharisees said, "We need to stone her." Jesus said, "Love your enemies when it only makes sense they're your enemies. Why would you love them?" He said to be great in God's kingdom, you need to be a servant. As a great counselor, he encouraged people to love and care for others in a new way. And I believe that he's encouraging us today to do the same thing. The Apostle Paul had a heart to live this kind of life. And in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, he encourages followers of Christ to allow our wonderful counselor to not just speak to us, but to influence our lives and change the way we live. If you'll turn there this morning, we're going to pick it up in Galatians, chapter 5, in verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping with this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Okay, so right off the bat, in verse 13, we are called to be free, but that comes with a warning. It's a pay attention to this moment statement. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Use it to serve one another in love. Because why? Because if you bite and devour each other, you will destroy each other. Now, you may have heard me say this before in a teaching, but it's important to say it again at this point. If the enemy can get us against each other, then we're doing his job for him. We give a poor reflection of Christ. We're tearing our team down. We're tearing our family down, the family of God. And we're doing exactly what the enemy would want us to do: distract us from what we're to be doing. If the enemy, we give a poor reflection of Christ to the world, so use your freedom to serve one another. Not argue, but serve. Then he goes on to say this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So if you don't want to walk in your flesh, if you're worried, you may be tempted to walk in your flesh. If you look over your life and you realize that you have been walking in the flesh, the answer is to do this. Walk by the Spirit. Sit down and have a talk with your wonderful counselor. And walk by what he says. Let him influence what you do. Let him influence what you say. The flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary to the flesh, and they're in conflict with one another. These two things are in conflict. It doesn't say that they come to a place of conflict. They are in conflict. Your spirit, the Spirit of God, and your flesh are in conflict. The battle doesn't start when you have a choice to make. The conflict is already happening. You're either walking by the Spirit or you're walking by the flesh. If you aren't intentional about going against the current of flesh in your life, if I'm not being intentional in walking in the Spirit, the flesh will carry me away, just like a swift stream. Because it's easy to walk in the flesh. It comes natural to us to walk in the flesh. Everyone's doing it. Do what makes you happy. Do whatever feels good. So doing what makes God happy and doing what is right, those things are against the flow of the current of society right now. And if you're in that river, which we all are in that river, and you're not moving forward toward the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, then you will get swept away by the current because it's what everybody else is doing. Right now, it's easy to use the freedom that God has given us to be angry about the restrictions that we have, to be frustrated by lockdowns and by leaders who don't care. They don't think about the same things that we do. They don't, you know, they aren't, you know, we view them as they're just not godly, and it's so easy to get caught up in that frustration. But God says, bless those who curse you. Think of others more highly than yourself. Pray for your leaders. Pray for those that you disagree with. If you want to know if you are walking in the Spirit or the flesh, you look at the fruit that's coming out of your life. Verse 19. I can't see. Is that it? Okay. Verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft. Now, for us as believers, we can look at that and say, well, I don't do any of those things. That's not part of my life. It's not part of my walk. But then we come to this second set of fruit, of flesh fruit, hatred. Well, I don't hate anybody. Discord. Well, I did get into a disagreement this week. But it was just over the election, so it's fine, because, you know, those people don't know what they're talking about. Jealousy, fits of rage, those are everywhere this year. Fits of rage, we see them everywhere. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, ouch. Drunkenness. Well, I don't do that. Orgies. Nope, I don't do that. And the list is over. Thank goodness. We made it through, not too badly. But then it says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, hold up a minute here. So if that's the fruit that's showing up in my life, if that's the fruit that if the fruit in my life looks like this list, that says I won't inherit the kingdom of God. The works of the flesh are evident. We see it. Others see it. If these works are showing up in your life, if they're showing up in my life, we're walking in the flesh and the world sees it. Right now in this world, things are dark. They've been dark for a really long time. In fact, they're so dark that we get tired of talking about how dark everything is. So many of us are waiting for it to get better, to get lighter. But the word of God says this about the darkness. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven." You are the light of the world. You're standing in a dark place, and you're the only one that has a flashlight with batteries. Right now, our light should be shining so bright because what lives in us is so contrary to what we see. The darker that it is in the cave, the brighter the light shines. And right now, it should be so evident that we have Christ and that what we have is different. Letting the light shine right now in dark places glorifies the Father in heaven. And you cannot shine that light if it's hidden under a bowl of fear. You cannot shine that light if it is hidden under a bowl of dissension or under a bowl of envy. God is calling us. He is calling his people to listen to the voice of our wonderful counselor, the one who knows his stuff, who is an expert in all the things that shine the light bright in this world, the light of truth in love, the light of unconditional love, the light of forgiveness, the light of peace. Pay attention. Pay attention. Look at your life. What fruit is coming from it right now? When Jesus is your counselor, you're giving him influence in your life. You're giving him influence in your heart. You're allowing him into a place in your life where he will counsel you through his relationship with you, just walking along with him. You become dead to the influences of this world and alive to Christ's influence in your life. And that fruit looks like this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against those things there is no law. And those that belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Since we live by the Spirit, we will behave according to the Holy Spirit's set of beliefs. Okay? When we live by the Spirit, we are living and behaving according to what he believes, what he says. And we need to keep in step with that. We have to be intentional. We have to be intentional. If we're not intentional, we are losing ground. We cannot get swept away in the current of culture as we see it happening. I also would say that it's not your job to just be kind. It's not your job to just be good. It's your job to listen to the wonderful counselor and let it be his kindness, his goodness that comes from your life as a fruit of the Spirit in your life. What is the fruit? What is the fruit that's shown up in your week? What's the fruit that's showing up as all these things are shutting down? What's coming out of that? God is calling his people to finish off 2020 with intentionality. Our status quo has been disrupted. Some of us have felt beaten up, like we've completely lost control. We feel weighed down by the sin of this in this world and the sin in this country, by the injustice. Many are discouraged because they can't have Thanksgiving as usual, or they are worried that Christmas is going to get taken away. But should that be your focus? I was thinking about it as I came here this morning, and maybe it is that God doesn't want you to have Thanksgiving the way you've always had it. Maybe he doesn't want you to have Christmas the way that you've always done it. Maybe he wants you to pay attention to what he's doing right now, not the way you've always done it. To no longer do things because that's what we do, but do things because we are in step with the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are in step with what he's doing. That your light would shine brighter than it ever has on Thanksgiving. That it would shine brighter than it ever has during Christmas. That we would get excited because God's doing a new thing. And stop looking at the fact that, well, now he has to do a new thing. That's real. Well, we have to do something different. Maybe God wants you to do something different. I went to I was on a Zoom pastor's prayer call about a month or so ago, and one of the pastors said this. He said, "My prayer is that we would not come out of this time until God has done everything in us that he wants to do." That we won't come away from this time and look back and say, "Oh, well, that was a wasted year." No, no, no. God doesn't waste things. He doesn't waste things. He's intentional. He's good. He's kind. And what he has planned for your year, for the rest of your year, he wants you to be intentional about it. He wants you to listen to the voice of your wonderful counselor and be in step with his Spirit. This is not a time to disengage with what God wants to do. What God wants to do through you, the church. This is not a time to roll over and play dead. There's a moment in a basketball game, and it happens a lot, and I'm sure you've seen it before, where somebody gets the ball and they plant one of their feet down and they pivot around their feet to see where they're going to go. Like, the goal is the same. They're just getting, like, you know, that pivot going, and then they move. The momentum isn't lost. His balance is sturdy. His purpose is the same. The mission is the same. The focus is the same. And I would tell you that 2020 is a pivot moment for the church. Church Now is not the time to lose momentum. It's not time to lose sight of our purpose. It is the time for the church to plant our foot firmly on the rock, our wonderful counselor, Jesus, and look around, ready for what God wants us to partner with him in. No momentum lost. No momentum lost. Be more intentional. Be more purposeful. Same mission, same focus. To see freedom break out in the lives of the people in this community. To see the lost saved and the sick healed. We're not just waiting for 2020 to be over and hope for the best in 2021. The enemy doesn't get this year. He doesn't get to have it. This is the day that the Lord has made. And God made this year. Satan doesn't get to dictate our holiday season. He doesn't get to determine what Thanksgiving means to us, what Christmas means to us. Thanksgiving is a time of giving thanks. So pivot. Look around. What's God asking you to do? What is your wonderful counselor telling you? You are a royal priesthood. You have a relationship with the one who created everything. The veil was torn, and Jesus has enabled you to come into the presence of God, to talk with him, to hear from him. You have direct access. You have direct access to Jesus, our wonderful counselor. You have an appointment with the wonderful counselor that does not end. Take all the time you need. Take him with you. Listen to your counselor. Go to him with your trouble and listen to him and be intentional about acting on it so that we can be changed in this moment. It's our choice. We can be changed in this moment. More in step with the Spirit. Your light can shine brighter this holiday season than it ever has before. And the enemy would tell you that that's not real. But God says that we are the light of the world. And the darker the world gets, the brighter that Christ shines in us. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Choose to listen to your counselor. There is a open Bible pastor in California who we know quite well. He's been here a couple times, named Gary Kahn. And he wrote a book in this last month, actually, and released it. And it is a devotional. It's a 21-day devotional, and it's called You're Not Getting Christmas, Corona. You're not getting Christmas. And that is a declaration. You don't get Christmas. This day and every day and every holiday season belongs to God, and I will jump in and love him and love others and care for people and be thankful and remember what it's about. And the reason that I brought this today is next week when I come, I'm going to bring some of these to give to you. And if you are interested in getting one of these, it's a Monday through Friday devotional. They take the weekends off. It starts on December 1st. And if you would like one of these, would you just raise your hand and I will get you one? Okay, thank you. We will have these for you next week when you come, and that gives you a couple days before it starts on Tuesday, because this is all about being intentional. It's about every day from December 1st to, I don't even know, it says it's a 21-day devotional, and I can't remember what day he said it ends because it's only on Monday through Friday. So about being intentional this Christmas and not losing sight of what it's really about. Would you stand with me? Let's pray.